Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. 2024, the election, the stand of the President of the United States for re-election, question marks. I welcome Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution, the host of Goodfellas and other distinguished podcasts. Goodfellas is a TV show and a videocast. Because his new column, California on My Mind, looks at the Democratic Party speculating, that's all, about Mr. Biden's health and his poll numbers, more profoundly those. Bill, a very good evening to you. Mr. Biden is running for re-election. He travels, he talks, and right now he's engaged in the critical negotiations over the UAW strike. However, there is generally understood from the people I'm reading in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and elsewhere, speculation in the Democratic Party about his re-election plans. Your column also looks at that and looks at revelations about other possible outcomes besides Mr. Biden and Mr. Harris. The one that immediately attracts me is the governor of Michigan, now in the mix of this strike at UAW, critical to her state and also to her campaign possibilities. What does that mean that Gretchen Whitmer is in the mix if and when the president, well, you understand. Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. So I wrote the column because I'm always looking for a California hook. And what caught me about the interesting situation here was that there's a column in the publication The Bulwark by A.B. Stoddard, who wrote about a deep dream Democratic ticket. And the dream ticket was the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, and Raphael Warnock, the senator from Georgia. And long story short, it's a dream ticket because she is a woman. He is African-American. It's two important bases for Democrats. And they are sort of outside of the political system in terms of not being tight with the president. And the California angle here, John, was that Gavin Newsom was not mentioned. Newsom, of course, being in the middle of all kinds of Democratic skullduggery here in terms of whether or not he wants to run if Biden does not. What's interesting here, John, is that, sure, Joe Biden was on television on Friday talking about the UAW strike. He has been busy. He just went to India for a summit over there. But yet every poll that comes out shows this considerable angst, not just among the American public in general about him running for a second term, but within the Democratic Party. And I'm just not sure, John, how he can make these stories go away, because a lot of his concern has to do with his age. He cannot reverse his age. Secondly, it has to do with his kind of doddering performance. He doesn't ever seem to really be on his A game. And then thirdly, as we see with Whitmer and Newsom and other Democrats, there's a newer generation of Democrats in their 50s who are kind of chopping at the bit to jump in. So it just amounts to a lot of pressure on the president to not go for a second term.
We've talked about the governor of California before, and I'm going to bring it up again, Bill, because his strengths are obvious. He's an experienced politician in the Democratic Party. He represents the state the Democratic candidate must have. Right. He is also a person who's evidenced his interest in the White House in future, yes, and questioned routinely now about his ambitions in 24. He says, well, to TV dignitaries, move on, you know, change the subject. That is the way you run for president. That worked in the 19th century, will work again. So your column that you point to in California, bypassing the governor of California, seems mighty strange, Bill. His strengths are obvious.
They are, John, and he would be a formidable candidate in the Democratic primaries if he ran, because in addition to other qualities you listed, he's good at the joust. If you saw him with Sean Hannity earlier this summer, he did very well. He's very good at putting Republicans on guard. Great with the soundbite, very handsome, intelligent guy. But, John, he has possibly three strikes going against him entering a Democratic field. He is a straight white male. Three things that, well, Newsom could maybe reverse at least one of those, but he couldn't reverse all three. And this is the problem. The Democratic Party is so beholden to identity politics, John, that I think the idea of turning to a straight white male would just be abhorrent to Democrats who love the fact that even a rather incompetent Kamala Harris still represents the nation's first woman of color to hold that office. And if they were looking for a Democrat to run in 2024, they would similarly want that diversity. But the other strike against him, John, and it's not just the three I mentioned, so it's a fourth strike, if you want to blow up our baseball metaphor, it's location, location, location. Yes, California is hugely important with its 54 electoral votes right now. But a Democrat, John, is automatically gets California presidential election. What Democrats are concerned about is swing states. And this is where the Whitmer and Warnock appeal is, because you represent Michigan, which used to be part of the Democratic firewall, the blue wall up north, but no longer so much off limits. But then Warnock in Georgia, which Georgia and Arizona and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin pretty much being the ballgame in 2024. So here, geography works very much against Gavin Newsom because there's no evidence that he can win in a swing state.
Scenarios. All right. Let us set aside the candidates and talk about how it's going to happen. You have scenarios for the president of the United States announcing that he's no longer going to be a candidate. The one I like is that the president gives a stemwinder of an oration. And then why wait all the way till Labor Day, Bill?
Well, wait until Labor Day for this reason, John. If the president gives a stemwinder at the convention, accepts his party's nomination, and then decides a week later or 2 weeks later not to run, what happens to the Democratic ticket? Well, what happens, John, is that the National Committee members of the Democratic National Committee, about 350 insiders and all, they would choose a Democratic nominee. They wouldn't put it to a poll of the American people. They wouldn't put it to a poll of Democrats writ large. It would be these 350 insiders. And by the way, Chris Whitmer is the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. So it's very kind of insider in that regard. But you love your history. I love my history as well. And if you Well, there's no such thing as smoke-filled rooms anymore, John, because of smoking bans. This is about as close as you get to a smoke-filled room in terms of rigging a ticket. So Biden would have to wait till after the convention to do this. Now, there's one other scenario. Let's throw it out there, which I don't think will happen, but that's the news today, his son being indicted on three counts of gun charges. There's an open question right now about whether or not Mr. Biden, who fiercely loves his son, takes great pity on him for his troubles, would he dare pardon his son? If Joe Biden is running for president, John, I don't see how he can pardon his son while he is running for a second term. That would just be, if not poisonous on a Ford-Nixon level, be pretty bad for him, I think. But, John, and let's just float it out there for the sake of argument, what if Biden announces that he's not going to run, and then as he gets closer to the end of his presidency, he pardons poor Hunter? So this kind of adds to the speculation about giving Biden a reason to drop out. The reason could be that's the only feasible way that he could pardon his son.
It says that he's not going to run before the convention. That's what you're not talking about after
right,
the convention.
Right, but exactly. This would be before the convention probably, John. But then the problem with that is that you now have a Democratic bloodbath on your hands because in two ways. First of all, John, a lot of Democrats like Newsom and Whitmer, and who knows who else would jump in and run. But secondly, John, just the mechanics of the situation, because we are in September right now, and by the time you get to December, you have cut off the deadline to file in most presidential races across the country. So you're now looking at the Democratic races where Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Marianne Williamson will be slugging it out. So the Democratic National Committee would have to go in and blow up all the rules for who could run. Or more to the point, you might have candidates like Gavin Newsom running his favorite sons, write-in candidates winning across the country. And then, John, we're at the dream that you and I always hope for every 4 years, the brokered convention.
Yes, that's what we are looking for, Bill. Everybody in media is, no matter what your experience. So at this point, you're offering two scenarios: before the convention, the nomination, and afterwards. Is there a third possibility anywhere?
Okay, I'm going to give it following scenarios, John. He either would do it early in the year,
right,
allow Democrats to choose a primaries, but recognizing that's going to be a free-for-all. Also recognize that maybe that would help Kamala, and maybe he doesn't want Kamala to be the next
30
president.
Seconds,
so that's
Bill.
Number one.
30 seconds.
Does it early in the year. Secondly, he does it right before the convention and lets the convention decide it. Thirdly, he does it after the convention. So those are your scenarios.
Bill Whalen, writing California on Your Mind, on my mind as well, looking at Gavin Newsom and saying, what if? I'm John Batchelor.